Hey, this is your girl Carissa B, and you are tuning in to the newest episode of Life Talk TV show, Learning to Ignite Your Faith Every Day. Kingdom builders, listeners from across the world, I am excited that you are back for a new season of Life Talk TV show. We're starting it off big, y'all. We're starting it off big, representing kingdom business all the way from Nigeria, y'all. That's right. I am excited about what God is doing. He's literally stretching. Ha, bah, ha, so, blah, blah. He's literally stretching. Ha, su, hu, da, ba, se, ba, 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 ka, ba. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm excited. Let me just exhale for a second because I was about to go in. We're about to have church, y'all. But we are here with an amazing, mighty man of God. He's an apostle. Now, y'all know I got to put my glasses on. Y'all, listen. I'm trying to listen to my team and say, okay, put the glasses on when you start reading, taking them off. So I'm gonna put my glasses on, y'all, so I can read my card, because I will literally say something that they probably not even doing. So he's a producer, he's a songstress, he's a speaker of the faith. Shush, apostle. The New Breed Company, and he's got so much more going on. This man of God is Apostle Caleb David. Welcome into my house. Welcome.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Amen and amen. Like I said, I just want to go and just go in. And I know they'd be like, then people be like, what, where are they going? You know, come and join us. No, I'm just playing. Listen, I wanted to get this fellowship started off with the fact of the anointing that is on you and everything that you touch and everything that you produce and everything that you speak and everything that you declare. My God, sweet fragrance comes from the sound that comes from your mouth when you're singing worship to the Father. Abba. He says it, it
Oh,
was.
yeah. Thanks, Colin.
Woo! So let's
Thanks,
get
Colin.
started with that. Let me know, how did it get started? How did you get into what you are doing right now?
Oh, well, it's really been a journey of intimacy for me. It's been a journey of getting to know the Lord. It's been a journey of coming to understand His heart and walking with Him. And all of that has opened up into several layers of ministry, spending time in worship and just blessing His name, just pouring out myself before Him has opened up the layers of having to do it before people, and growing in revelation, also growing in the knowledge of God's word has also brought up the layers of having to do that before people. So it has just been the Lord saying, I desire to do so much with you, but it all starts with you coming to know me. And that's the point for everything, and the more I respond to His heart, the more I respond to His love, the more I see all of the many streams that He wants finding expression.
I tell you what, you said many streams. I growing up, this is just the way they taught me growing up. They never really spoke like the way you're speaking and about the revelations and the streams and not realizing that your mantle has so many gifts on it, even gifts that you haven't even opened yet. Like there's gifts
Yes.
that's sitting on your mantle that you haven't, you don't even know they exist at, you know, because you
Yes.
can't see. But what I love about your sound, what I love about what I've observed and experienced through the YouTube videos and the music and even conversation with you is it's always consistent. It's not, I hate to say replayed. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's very authentic.
Yes, it
Okay.
does.
And what I love about you is the desire that you know that you have to, there's more that you have to know about God. Like
Yes.
I've tasted this part, but no, Lord, I know you got more from me.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know
Oh,
when
yes.
exactly you're gonna allow me to receive it. But I'm just gonna, okay, Lord, I don't know everything, but I'm gonna keep trying to do it, because
Yeah.
it's like the way your son is like, now I know that I know what I'm supposed to be doing now. Always been that way, or has it been a time in your life that you weren't sure where what you were supposed to be doing for the kingdom?
I grew up knowing I was supposed to be actively serving. Now we're all servants of the kingdom. We're all called to live for the king. But I grew up knowing I was supposed to preach. In fact, I didn't want to. I felt like I wanted to do every other thing, but not stand on any pulpit to have to teach or do anything in terms of ministering as we've been told. And so I had some kind of knowing in my heart. But even though you have a sense of direction, once you step on and you begin your journey, there will be many turns that you're uncertain about, and you would always need him to guide you. So a part of me always knew that this is what God has called you to do, but I've had to grow in faith working with him, because he doesn't tell you everything. He opens it up to you in bits and in layers, and then you have to keep growing. You have to keep listening for his voice. You have to keep listening for him to direct you. And that's how he has led me thus far.
I agree with you. I'm not gonna, if I had it literally sat down and, 10 years ago, I'll just say 10 years for me, and where I was 10 years ago versus where I am now, I would have never imagined I'd be doing this now. 10 years ago, thinking about making it in the national charts, being in the BMIs, I didn't think God was gonna say, okay, yeah, you here, but I'm about to flip it. You're gonna be helping people get on those charts. You see what I'm saying? I didn't understand it. And then now he's got me in place now. Now you see the condition of the industry. Now you have to represent me. Because there's been counterfeit worship. There's been counterfeit praise and counterfeit of knowing. They say they know me, but they really don't know me. They say they hear my voice, but they really don't hear my voice. Matter of fact, they're doing it without me, but they're still calling my name as though I'm still there. Whoo, my God,
Oh,
whoo, my
Jesus.
God, whoo, Jesus said, Tano. Ah.
Oh, Jesus.
So what he's doing, he's flipping the script, my God, and he's calling
Yes.
for his kingdom builders. He's saying, sound the alarm when I tell you to, not the way you want to
Oh,
do it,
yes.
the way I tell you to do it.
Oh,
And I
yes.
believe with the
Oh,
sound of
yes.
God, my God. Okay. My God, love that ba ka ba ba ba. Shoo.
Please let it loose.
Aha. Okay. I'm back. I'm believing with the sound that you have been, the words that have been echoed, ha ka ka da ba. And I said echo because it's reaching nations. We're declaring and speaking
Glory to
it now
God.
in the name of Jesus. Ha bahasa.
Glory to God.
When you
Amen.
speak, it's like a silence comes and people are holding on to your every word, your adjectives and your
Glory to God.
pronouns and how you
Glory to
conversate,
God.
how you carry yourself. Oh, yes,
Glory to God.
I didn't even know this wasn't even one of the questions or any of the
Glory to
statements, but it's time. It's an awakening time.
Glory to
And
God.
it's preparing you for the
Glory
journey
to God.
in the name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
I want to, and I'll tell you this offline, but I want to talk about the New Breed Company. Tell us how they got started.
An interesting story that is. Okay, so this is how I gave my life to Jesus. Let's begin from that point on.
Okay.
First, I was raised in a family of people who love the Lord. My mom and my dad really loved a lot of Christian background. They paid so much attention teaching us the way of the Lord. But there was this time where I got to meet the Lord for myself. I was called to minister at a meeting. I was there. We led the people in worship. We had a good time. But then the preacher came and began to speak about the love of Jesus, how much he loves us and all that he went through on the cross. And in that moment, it felt personal in a way that I never experienced it before. Now, this was a story I knew. I mean, I even preached on it many times, but on that day, it felt like Jesus did all of that for me. It was a me moment.
Yeah.
That was. I every time I think about it, it takes me right back there. It was like I was standing right before him, and I could just picture him on the cross, and I almost wanted to ask, why did you have to do all of that for me?
Right.
For me, why? And before he asked, you want to give your life to Jesus? I was up at the front. I was kneeling and I was crying. I was just weeping. And that experience left a hunger in my heart that has carried me on. And I pray that by his mercies, he'd keep that fire burning, he'd keep that hunger burning. So every other thing went on, went back to church, continued serving. But a season came in my life where I desired more. I felt like I wasn't touching him anymore. I felt like there was some kind of disconnect that was happening. I was just really hungry for fellowship. And I also believe that that was him pulling me onto something greater. And so I had to go find, I knew that, okay, I need to touch the Lord. I need to go deeper in my walk with the Lord, but this is not going to happen off of anything someone else is doing in church or someone else is teaching. I'm going to have to press in for myself. I'm going to have to take responsibility for this. And so I got this facility, and I said to the owners, I want to use, it was school. I said, I want to use a classroom. I want to hold meetings here. My elder brother used to do the same with his friends. And so I remember that, okay, people used to go here to pray. So I said, I want to use your classroom for meetings. And gracefully, they were so nice, and then they allowed me to have it. So I would just go into the classroom and just sit with the Lord. I felt like it was my dedication, my declaration. I want to know you. I want to come into a deeper place of fellowship. And this is me making a statement of sacrifice, because it's one thing to say, I want this. Then it's another thing to be doing something about it. It's another thing to be pressing in and following as he leads you. And so that's really how everything began. I started going there myself. Started going in there myself and just sitting alone, studying the scripture, praying, not even knowing what to do. So it was just me and me and the Lord. And enjoying fellowship, I'll leave there refreshed. I'll leave there with a joy, a sense of joy. Like I was touching something. I knew that something was happening, something was opening up on the inside. And without any invitation, people began to find that space. I remember a friend of mine came to me one day and said, there's this hunger in my heart. I don't know what to do anymore. And I said, well, you're gonna have to spend time with the Lord. You're gonna have to sit with the Lord. You're gonna have to pray. You're gonna have to study. I know how things can be. So take off all of the distractions and just go sit with the Lord. But if you need help, there's this place where I go to hide. You can come with me. And so we were two. And afterwards, more people began to find it. And at that point, I got scared because I was like, oh Lord, no, I know where this is going. I can already see the patterns. No, I don't want this, because if you told me from the beginning that getting this facility would lead to this, I would have run away. Right. But the hunger was too deep. I couldn't ignore it. I had to do something. And years went by, and I got to understand that this was God doing something. He was pulling me into himself and also pulling people. And as time went on, things got a lot more serious. I got to understand that, okay, you're going to have to give good attention to this. And the presence of God would fill that classroom as we stayed to fellowship, to pray, to worship. It was a beautiful time. Every time we gathered, it was too rich to neglect. So while deep inside I had my fears to say, I'm really worried. I don't want this to turn into anything. It was too good to not go back the next time.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, and years have gone by, and that's what you have as the newbie company today.
What an amazing testimony. And even like you said, you wouldn't even look. This is not why I got this business, Lord. God, this he always is. Honestly, if he I'm gonna be honest with you, if he had told you to go there and do this and that, would you have done
No, no way. No way.
right? Absolutely not. Okay, Lord, no, nah, that's nah. Is there something else you want me to
Oh yes, I
Amazing.
would have had that conversation with the
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, you know the strange thing about it? I always tell my kids and stuff, I said I'd be having the weirdest conversations with the Lord. And then when I'm finished talking, I'll be laughing like, okay, like I mean you need all this, but you know you're gonna do whatever the Lord tell you to do anyway.
Oh
So
yeah. Oh yeah.
to get into your music. I want to tap into that. You have a new single out, if I'm not mistaken, and I want to talk about that. But before we talk about that, To Live was the album that I listened to, and I think
Okay.
it's Reach Out. Reach Out. That was one of the songs that kind of just slapped me in my face. It just
Wow.
hit me. I like the sound. I like the diversity in the music. I like
Thank you.
the vocals. I liked
Thank
a
you.
lot. There was some elements in there, even instrument wise, that honestly, if you hear the song, you're like, I wonder why he put that instrument there. I wonder. And I was like, am I the only one that's hearing this stuff? Or, is other people hearing this stuff? But it was a very creative album. But what I really liked about it is that majority of it, I think all of it was live.
Praise God. No, a majority of it was live, but we had to do some sequencing
Yeah.
in the studio and all. Yeah.
I love the sound. I love
Praise
the
God. Praise
sound.
God.
And I'm a type of person when I listen to music, I can tell the difference, but I also can tell where the foundation of it's at. You know how like a lot of music that's out now, I'm gonna be honest with you, a lot of music is got auto tune on it, and the instruments are electronic instruments, they're not really pure instruments, or and there's nothing wrong with using any of that stuff. I'm not saying y'all, I'm not telling you don't use it. But what sometimes when you're doing worship or you're doing something in an authentic place, you want to hear the most authentic sound, and then
Absolutely.
mix and master it. That's when you want to kind of lose the electronics and just to make it sound, but never taking it from its element.
Yes, absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
so with that album, can you tell us like the story of how did it come about?
Okay, the songs on that album are songs that were mostly received, but received and written out of a place of fellowship. It was just me expressing my heart, expressing and receiving, responding to his heart, responding to his love, and pouring them out. For instance, there's a song on that album that says, "Be it unto me."
Yeah.
And I remember I was reading Pastor Benny Hinn's book. I don't know what book that was, but he was talking about Mary and her experience and how that by the favor of the Lord, she was going to receive a mandate that would quote unquote mess her life up. She was going to be the mother of a savior, but that was really not going to be a sweet journey. And her response to the Lord, her response in love, her response in submission to the will of God was, even though this looks impossible, even though this is going to have its own peculiarities, be it unto me according to your word. And that statement jumped off from that book into my heart, and I felt like this is the response that the Lord expects from me. This is, I know that he wants me to be doing a lot. I know that there's so much he intends for me to come into and grow into. Some would have very unpleasant twists and turns, but in all of it, he's really expecting that we love him enough to be able to say, "Be it unto me according to your word." And there'll be times when we'll go through warfares, go through challenges and all of that, and he's hoping that we trust him enough to be able to say, in the midst of all of this, I'm going to trust your own report. I'm going to believe for your own word, where we can say, be it unto me according to your word. So all of the songs in there were just me pouring out my heart and expressing real worship to the Lord, so that the album would minister to me first before anyone. And we had to carry out the production in a way that gave room for that expression. I needed to be in a studio session that would allow me worship and not just record as an artist, but to just minister to the Lord while we're recording. And I'm grateful to God that the album came out the way it did.
A beautiful album. Like I said, I like the diversity. I love the diversity. I'm a type of person
Yes,
like
darling.
listen to an album, it's okay. And it could just be where I'm at now. Because there's times where I listen to the same song over and over and over. I will. I'll be one of the ones that listen to the same song for 20 days straight in a row. I will be that one. But
Yes.
this particular album was very creative. You have other songs, You Are Worthy, You Are Good, and I know I'm gonna mess this one up. It's so difficult. Oh Lord.
I'll let you try.
Oh Lord. Oh Jochanami.
Good one. Ojochenemi.
Oh no, oh, say it again.
Ojochenemi.
Ojochanami.
Yes,
Ojo.
that works.
Now listen, we've already talked about this. This song right here, this took me in. Ojo Chanami. I've been singing it wrong this whole time. I'll be trying to do a duet with you. I'm listening to it, and I'm saying, listen, the visuals, the lyrics, everything, like I'm about to cry now. Everything about it, when I ran into the song, it ministered to me.
It's gone.
I was in a place where I literally, and I know the word. I mean, I'm not, I know I'm not literally alone, but I just felt at that moment I was alone. I felt some kind of way about some things that was going on in my life and what I just dealt with rejection and family leaving because they didn't want to support. I mean, just a lot of stuff going on. But when I heard that song, I just literally just was in tears, like just crying. And I told those that said, "Hey, come here, come and listen to this song." So he was sitting there, he was just listening, and I said, "So what do you think?" He was like, "Wow." And I said, "Right." And I said,
It's
and
gone.
for a whole week, I literally just played it over and over and over. But I noticed as I continued to play it, I was being delivered as well.
It's gone.
And I say that in a moment of transparency because I was dealing with rejection and I allowed it kind of to consume me and didn't even know it was consuming me.
Yes.
I thought I was just okay. But no,
Yes.
the spirit of rejection was trying to consume me to where I could not operate the way that God wanted me to operate. So tell me the journey of that particular song.
Okay. That's a really old song. I only released it in 2021, but it's a really old song. And in one of those moments where I had to really come to a place of conviction concerning everything God was revealing to me, it was in one of those moments that the song was born. It was in those moments I was saying, I'm not alone. And that was me saying, I trust that you're going to be with me. And that was me also saying, I know that some parts of this journey will be lonely. So right now, I'm just going to anchor my heart in what we have going on and be satisfied with being the friend of the Lord, being the friend of Jesus, regardless of who stays or who leaves. And so loneliness for me would be about how much I'm able to touch the Lord or not touch the Lord. It won't be about how many people I would have around to support. I'd be lonely if I have a million people supporting and I don't have the Lord. Yes. And I'd be fine if I'm with the Lord and I look around and I really do not have anybody. And so it was in that moment of fellowship with the Lord that I had to really settle these matters and have my heart anchored on God's word. So I'll say that's a statement of covenant to say that I know that you are for me. I know that you've chosen me, and I'm saying I choose you too. Yeah. And parts of the song also speak about journeys with the Lord, speaking about growing to trust, growing to accept his hand, growing to accept his journey, growing to accept his own destination. Because I say that because the many possible destinations that we may have when we consider the matters of destiny, you know, we look at the things that God saying and like, okay, in about 10 years, about 20 years, I'm going to be here and here, going to be here and here. Those are possible destinations, but God has one destination for every purpose, for every destiny, and it's that you conform to the image of His Son. It's that you come into that place where you're in the portrait of His bride. And so I'm also saying, this is destiny for me. I was made for you. I was made to love you, and I was made to be loved by you. This is what it's going to be about. I'm going to keep my eyes on that one goal, and everything that's born on the way, praise God, I'd allow it to find expression. Everything that shows up on that journey, as long as it pleases you, let it find expression. But the end goal for me would be this: I was made for you, to be loving you and to be loved by you, and that's what I want to keep my eyes on.
A beautiful song. Beautiful
Praise
song.
God.
I'm gonna be honest, I wouldn't even think it was I'm not gonna even lie to you.
Oh.
It may be because it I listen, I always tell my show, I'm very transparent in my show. There was I'm telling you, that spirit of rejection had me in a woe is me. And
Oh, dear.
even when I read my word, I feel like I'm refreshed, and seconds later, it will come back and try to torment. And I
Yeah.
have to be reminded. It remind me of
Yes.
why he chose me.
Yes.
It reminded me that in him, and it reminded me that I'm okay where I'm at, and that's with him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I always feel that way, but because I was dealing with stuff, you know, people don't want to be real and transparent when you're dealing with stuff. That sometimes you can glide off just a little bit. Not saying you're gonna go out and sin or anything like that. No, you have no, you
That's
have
true.
fear and not having courage sometimes, and you know, sometimes we don't trust, not even so trust God, but trust the journey that God has placed us on. Like maybe I missed it,
That's
or
true.
well, if this journey is like this, then why did this happen?
That's
You know,
true.
so that's where I was at in that. Some of the other songs, Into the Eyes of Love and The Path of Love and Only Yahshua. Only Yahshua, everybody's singing that. Everybody's singing that. A beautiful, once again, a beautiful song. Your lyrics,
Praise God.
and I'm gonna be honest with you. When you're writing your lyrics, is it will you go off somewhere and just like, okay, me and you, God, or is it a process, or do you just randomly get your lyrics and just kind of jot them down and eventually be like, oh okay, is the process tedious, or it's just that's just who you are? Lyrics is all day for you.
Well, it's different for every song. For only Yeshua, everything came in about a space of about 20 minutes. I was just in the place of prayer and in fellowship with the Lord. I was really trusting God for intervention on many things. And God was just responding to my heart. I don't think if you, of course you should. When you go before the Lord to pray, and you're going to pray about a setting thing. This is what I'm bringing before the Lord. And then he takes your focus off of that into something else. And yeah, that's how only Yeshua was born. I was like, Lord, I need you. Fix this. Do this. And then he says, wait a minute. There's so many problems out there in the world. In fact, it was the period where COVID was really causing all kinds of problems everywhere. People were dying. It was a devastating time. And so he said, look at COVID. Look at the nations of the world. Consider the warfare that the bride, the church of Christ as a body has to face, has to fight at this time. And then he said, but then in the midst of all of that, my throne is incontestable. In the midst of all of that, it's It's not even a serious problem, you know. The Bible says that we're seated far above principalities and powers, far above, you know.
Right.
And so he was just really saying to me that I'm king, I'm king. And even though the kings of the earth may gather, he that sits in heaven shall laugh. So if you're going to be operating from an ascended position, you will be seeing things differently. Your perspective will be changing. And in that moment, that song was born. And he was just saying, my kingdom has no end. There's no trouble. We're not shaking. There's no panic attack. We're fine.
Right, my God.
Yeah. Other songs may take a longer period of time. For instance, Orchard Enemy took a number of years. Words were just coming and sitting. Other songs would take a process of growth, a
Right.
process of deep, a process of revelation, growing to understand God's word. But some songs he would just release to you in one go. So it's different for every song, and the experience is precious for me because no song leaves you the same.
Right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, like I said, I was just listening to some of your music, the preaching, the teaching, and everything, and I came across two things that you just recently did. I don't know if it's 2 day conference, feast, wait, 2 day conference and the Feast of the City Takers, Global Shifting. You just had some
All right.
that you just partake in, and I would love for you to talk a little more about, what you experienced at those. What was your assignment for those particular conferences?
Assignment for me was to just bring his people into the experience of his heart, the experience of his love. Because the Bible says that God made man and placed the man that he had made in the garden. And the garden is first a place of intimacy. And it was from that place that God was saying, have dominion over everything I have made. So the kingly authority that man was supposed to wield was supposed to be born out of intimacy. And that conference was tagged the Feast of City Takers
Right.
because it was supposed to awaken us to the responsibility that we have as God's people to take the kingdom into spheres, into several mountains. And so it was like the Lord was just emphasizing, say, when you go there, make sure that it's about my heart because you're supposed to be ruling from that place of intimacy. You're supposed to be ruling from the guarding and not running off to do any other thing, trying to rule. You
Yeah.
know, having dominion is supposed to be a byproduct of what we're supposed to have going on. And
Yeah.
so I couldn't find any other song but the song he gave me years ago that's titled The Song of Songs. And it was just song says, I'll sing the Song of Songs, I'll dance the dance of the angels as I gaze into the eyes of the Lord. And so right there, it was a moment of gazing for me. And you know how this works. If you do this well enough and the Holy Spirit helps you, as you worship in truth, you're able to bring people to worship
Yeah,
also. Yeah.
I tell you what, worship and truth thing. I don't know how people. Yeah, I do, but I'm just gonna say it. For me, and I'm gonna be very honest once again. I don't see how people can come to a place or come to a platform or come to a church or come to a conference or come to anything that represents Christ, but don't want to worship him in spirit and truth. I don't see how they can't, I don't see how they can even come into a building of any sort, come onto a platform or start worshiping and not have a relationship of holiness and righteousness, but then open their mouth.
Yes.
Sometimes I have to ask my husband, Pastor T, how is that possible that people can literally get on platforms and post ride on nothing, because it's in his anointing that things break. Is in his anointing that there's a sound. Is in his anointing that he comes in. So it kind of
Yes.
scares me a little when people try to operate in themselves. And that's not how we're not even designed to do that. So you see
Yes,
what I'm saying?
we're not.
I don't get it. So as you're going through these different conferences and God is leading you on assignments in your area or wherever God is leading you, how do you stay
Yes.
consistent with that? Because you know there's gonna there's let's just be honest, there comes some people around us that they didn't nail it. They didn't nail it. Matter of fact, they're up there and you know that they're operating, they're not even operating like God wants them to operate. So how do you, especially if you have to speak, because when I was fighting as a speaker, sometimes people will go up there and sing before I go up there and I'd be like, okay, Lord, now you just tell me, okay, wait. And it's like I have to go up there and say or pray or sing another song. And I'm not trying to disrespect them, but I was like, I need God's presence to be here like now. And they didn't, because
Yeah.
they wanted to do their own agenda. So how do you stay consistent with that? Is there an antidote or is there not one at all? You just have to trust God in the process.
Well, trust is a major part, but then you have to do a good work with growing in intimacy on a personal note first, so that you're able to know what he would have you do.
There you go.
Things get messy when you don't know what he would have you do.
Yep.
You'll be left alone. You'll be all by yourself if you're going and you don't know what you'd have to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's an important part that we can take for granted at all. Also, it's important for every minister to understand that you never allow the going disturb what you have going on with the Lord. You must value presence over the assignment first. You
Speak. Yeah.
must yes, you must value the place of communion over going to do anything for him. You must value being with him and doing things. That's when he can trust you with assignments on several levels. When you start coming to the point where the assignment becomes more exciting than the one who sends you, then there's a problem. There's a problem. Yes. But if you have your heart in the right place, it'll be very easy for you to open things up. There's a way he responds to people who are after his heart. And the presence of the Lord coming into meetings, coming into gatherings is really about God responding to the hearts of the people who are calling him,
Yeah.
or the heart of the minister who is standing in front to represent him. And so you don't want to have the outcome of a meeting at the mercy of the people's alignment. If God is sending you, you're going to need to be sure that you're in the proper shape, in the proper posture of heart to go there and be able to do what he'd have you do without any backlashes, without any resistance, so that whether or not the people are aligned, what he's able to do through you stays constant.
Sister, yeah. I
Yes. So valuing presence more than any other thing will keep you in a place where ministry no longer is no longer limited to just when you're out there going. Ministry becomes your life. Ministry becomes what you're doing off stage. You're not a worshiper or a speaker when you have the mic on and you have people looking at you. You're God's minister, God's servant, and that's how you ought to live your life. And that way, it's easy for you to have a consistent result as you go, and you can increase in the measures that he's able to trust you with if you live consistently first
Yeah.
before you function consistently.
That's true. That's true. I knew you were gonna answer it
Yeah.
right. I knew you were gonna answer it right. I was like, I'm just waiting. Let me just wait. Let me just wait. I love it. I love it. I love your consistency.
It's
I love
good.
you speak. And you're very transparent and you're real. And you always come from a place heart
Yes.
connected
Yes.
because these things are very important. If you want to represent him, if you want God to use you, you have to be in a
Yes.
position. What I was finding In the season that I'm in, I'm always in a place of where I'm resting and I'm listening, or I'm sitting at his feet, receiving instructions on what to do, or I'm in a place of just worship. And so where I'm going with this is, now that you're in the place where you're at, where do you see Apostle Caleb David going in the next 3 months? We'll just say the next 3 months.
Next 3 months. Wow. Okay. I trust God for grace to be able to host conferences at the number of states. And I'm looking forward to that. It's really been stirring my heart in that direction lately, where we just come together and spend time worshiping, not performing as it were, or doing something to showcase talent, but just really worshiping, really worshiping. I believe that there is a stream of revelation that only worship can release. That I believe that we're about to see the power of God fill the earth in a way we've never seen before. And the key to that release will be true worship. And my heart has really been stirred for a long while now. And I believe that in a couple of months, we should be able to do that. We just go into cities and get our friends, get people to come together and just sit before the Lord in worship and see where He leads us, because that stream is like a journey. It's a journey of revelation. And riding in that into the spontaneous worship, allowing for the Spirit of God to take over. If he wants to prophesy, let him do it. If he wants to heal, let him do it. If he wants to speak to his people, let him do it. But it's just about culturing the presence of God, coming to sit at his feet, pouring our hearts to the Lord, and receiving as he pours into us.
I can see that. I can see that. I can see that. I touch and agree with you on that. I see
Praise
that.
God. Praise God.
True worship, it's very important in a place of I'm in awe on the words that you're saying. I'm literally about to cry and I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm speechless that I'm just going to leave that alone. Y'all heard, listeners, viewers, y'all have heard and seen what he said about the next 3 months, and we're believing it to be so. So with the new year coming, and I don't know how it is over where you're at, but in the United States, we everywhere. I'm sorry. We just We're everywhere. Where do you see your ministry going in this upcoming year? Where are you desiring? Matter of fact, let me put it this way. Where are you desiring God to take it? If he came and asked you, where do you want to go next?
Oh dear. Oh, that's a tough one. Okay. I know that he's been speaking to me a lot about the nations, and thankfully so much of that confirmation has also come from you, and I'm forever grateful that we've had the conversations that we have had. But there's a desire in my heart. There is, it's one thing for the nations to be open to oppressing. It's another thing for the measure of God's spirit that is expressed in a person's ministry to become compelling. It's another thing. It's another thing altogether. Where the revelation of Jesus becomes so strong that the nations have to pay attention to what's coming from. Not because God wants to favor you or bless you or something. Well, of course, we love the blessing of God and we want that. But there is a place of hiddenness that I never want to lose. And so if the nations will come, let it be because the revelation of Jesus is so rich, so strong that they cannot but pay attention to what's happening. That's really what I desire, because I keep saying, okay, let's be vulnerable for a bit. Sometimes when I spend time with the Lord in prayer, I say to him, I don't want to have to go into the nations and not see revival. I don't want to. This is not tourism. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. There's so much that God wants to achieve in the nations of the earth. There's so much people are out there crying for a move of God. People are out there needing a touch of God. There are people who are depressed, the people who are sick, the people who are oppressed. And they don't need another talented singer or something. Or another great speaker. That's not what they need right now. They really do need to touch the Lord. They really do need to see the Lord. And I do not want to be out there doing things and everyone who loves me saying, oh, praise God for you. We see where God is taking you. I really do not want it to be about that. I want it to be about God going and finding me a worthy vessel to bring that release. I do not want it to be about me going. I want it to be about the Lord going. I really desire that he keeps this and he makes it about his kingdom, that there's an agenda that the kingdom has for this nation, for these people. And we have found you worthy. We have trusted you and we've tried, and we know that this mission will prosper. That's really where I want God to take the ministry first, before every other thing that comes after it.
I went with you on the journey as you were talking. And it's something about when you do the will of the Father and you take you out of the equation, you take yourself out of the equation and you have experienced his presence. You have experienced just his grace and mercy and being able to go to a place or compel people, hey, you have the opportunity to taste and see as well.
Yes.
What I'm saying here,
Yes.
here's a gift for you.
Yes. Yes.
He's all sovereign. So
Yes.
once again,
Yes.
I'm not going to cry on this live. So I'm just kind of keeping it quiet and I'm not going to go in deep. But I feel you. I feel you on that. Sometimes I sit and I'm like, man, and it's not to disrespect anybody, but sometimes I say, man, I feel so sorry for them because they're not tasting them yet. They're a
Oh yes.
ounce of him.
Oh yes.
Sometimes I look at I was like, man, girl, you haven't even experienced what God wants to show you yet. Why do you keep denying yourself? Allow yourself to grow in worship. Allow yourself to grow in him. There's rims, there's levels, divine knowledge, and all these things that he wants to give you. And all you have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Listen, kingdom builders, I could talk on just the love I have for God. And we ran out of time. Just so I want to keep it here. I want to keep it very mellow and at a peace. And I want before we get off of here, can you definitely tell them how to connect with you, their social media handling and anything else that you want to say before we get off the line?
Okay, I have one handle across all platforms is at one Caleb David, and you can connect. You'll find links to materials on there that will bless you. We get to release things from different streams of ministry, songs, teachings, even podcasts. So Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, at one Caleb David will lead you on all the platforms that you need to connect on. And I trust that you would find materials that will encourage you and bless you.
Amen. I want to thank you, Apostle, for coming on here and fellowshipping and giving us knowledge and giving us the understanding
Pleasure.
how important it is to be chasing after God and to have a true divine relationship with God. I want to tell you so much, your team, you, and everything that you do, bless it in the mighty name of Jesus, that there be an overflow that there'll be expansion, that I might, that God, you just take him where he needs to go in the name of Jesus. And Kingdom Builders and listeners, I want to tell you, thank you so much for coming on here. I am in an awe moment. And I thank God for this awe moment, because he is actually, and I'll tell you offline, but you have actually gave me an understanding of what's next. And so with that being said, I want you to come back next week for another episode of Life Talk TV show, Learning to Ignite Your Faith Every Day. God bless.